Well, what a blessing. Chris, thank you so much for sharing it. And a wonderful, faithful instrumentalist who just blessed Sunday after Sunday with such gifted servants of the Lord, have a heart for the Lord. And it's been a real blessing this morning. Well, every once in a while, and recently I received a gift that reminded me of this. Wayne and Sherry, if you were here, remember about a few weeks ago, gave me a wonderful gift, and it was a gift of a pair of socks. Now, everybody needs some socks, but these were really special because on them was something about watching Gunsmoke reruns. And every once in a while, when you hear your pastor preach, you may think, it seems like I've heard that before. And that's all right, because you probably have, because we've been in a series now for over 2 months on discovering the blessings of being a believer. And I don't know, I hope that you've been blessed, but I've been blessed in preparing the messages and getting ready to preach them and trying to share them with you on Sunday. And I realized early that that list of things that we could talk about, discovering the blessings of being a believer, could be an incredibly long list. Who could ever exhaust a list like that? God is a good, good God to us as children, to all of us. And we are blessed. And I want us to discover today some more of the wonderful revelations in the Word of God about what God has done for us that blesses our lives. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can let the things of the world so get our attention and so seize our attention that we forget that we've got a good God who's in control, who loves us, and He can meet every need of our lives. And He wants you to know that He's provided for every need that we have in the world. So this morning, when we look together at a couple of passages that are very familiar to us, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, and then Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 there together. And we're going to review briefly where we've been the last few weeks, and then look at some new dimensions, new areas, new discoveries, and areas of how the Lord is wonderfully blessed us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, discovering our blessings in Christ. Grace and peace, says Simon Peter, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now let me pause just a moment and remind us of what we've just now heard and read. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. And that word virtue is godliness or character. In other words, God has provided for us everything we need to be victorious and overcomers in this life. And that's what the message is talking about, discovering our blessings in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, reading verses 1 and 2, along with verse 3, which is in your study guide, Paul wrote to the church and said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. That word saints is a wonderful, wonderful word. It is found over 200 times. In fact, I think 229 times in the New Testament. It really means holy ones. Hagios. The word, Greek word for saints, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. By the way, if you're saved, did you know you were a saint? Now you're thinking, preacher, you don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. You don't know me. But the truth is, the saint, we have come to the place where we define saint as a super spiritual saint. And the truth is, that's not what a saint really is. A saint, somebody's been saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, and we'll talk about some other blessings in just a moment, but we've become children of God by grace through faith. The saints at the holy ones at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And, of course, he goes on and talks about some of those blessings in the rest of his letter to the church at Ephesus. Discovering our blessings in Christ. In recent weeks, we have covered several wonderful truths about the blessings of what it means to be a believer. We began our journey together in this series by talking about what it means to be saved. That's a simple word, but a profound word. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:9-13, shall be what? Saved. It's a wonderful word. We talked about it means to be redeemed. It means to be reconciled. It means to be set free from the bondage of sin. It means to have our sins washed away and our names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Folks, there's nothing like what it means to be saved. And it's more than being good. It's more than being moral. It's more than being even religious and active in a church. You can do all those things and still not understand what it means to be saved. And I love sharing my story, and I shared it so much that you could share it yourself probably by now. But I, of all the things God has ever done for me, God gave me a wonderful bride. I'm telling you, what a blessing. God gave me a wonderful family. God's given us so many blessings. But the greatest thing he's ever done for us is when he gave his son on the cross, died for us, and shed his own blood for our sins, we might have life and have it more abundantly in Christ. Discovering our blessings in Christ. What does it mean to be a believer? It means I've been saved by the grace of God. But it also means I've been sealed. They're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And he is the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. That word sealed reflects a document being stamped as official. A document that is maybe being sent somewhere. And the seal was an indication that is the genuine deal. Do you know when you were saved, you were sealed, a settling of the account. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You were born again, birthed from above, birthed from within the Holy Spirit of God. You were saved and you were sealed as a part of that transaction. Sealed, saved, and secured. We took a couple of Sundays and talked about what it means to be secured. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Folks, aren't you glad that some things last forever? I'm so glad that my eternal life lasts for an eternity. And I'm saved, I'm secured, I'm sealed, and no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. And folks, that's not a license to sin. That's a liberty to serve. And it's not a bondage, it's a blessing. Thank God for the blessings that are ours in Christ. We're saved, we're sealed, we're secured, we're strengthened. We talked about this last Sunday. I can do, said Paul, all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Are you weary? Are you not sure how you're going to make it the next step along the journey? Are you facing a mountain too high to climb or an ocean too long, too far, too wide to cross? Give it to Jesus. I can do all things through Christ. As long as I serve a risen Savior, there's nothing he'll ever bring into my path that he will not give me the grace to be victorious through and in. Secured. And then also we are strengthened. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can face any problem, any difficulty, any heartache, any challenge that life may bring. What we're talking about is discovering the blessings of being a believer. Because some morning you're going to wake up and think, God, what am I going to do? How am I going to face the rest of this week, the rest of this month, the rest of my life? How am I going to get through the stuff that the devil seems to have thrown into my path? I can do all things through Christ. I'm secured. I'm strengthened in Christ. But not only am I strengthened in Christ, I'm supplied in the Lord. Now, folks, this is good stuff. My God shall provide all of your what? Needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When you're a young parent, and really when you're a parent, period, one of the driving factors that you want to deal with in your life is you want to take care of your children, you want to bless your children, you want to provide for them, and you want to do it in a wonderful way. And as a result, sometimes we spoil them a little bit. Yeah. You ever spoil your young'uns? Now, maybe not your young'uns, maybe. But really, when it comes to your grandchildren, they're rotten, aren't they? And it's not their fault. It's our fault. We made them that way. And I'm kidding. They're really precious, and they are wonderful. They are they're God's wonderful blessing to all of us. And to be supplied means that God has blessed me beyond my wildest imaginations. It's a good thing to be saved. It's a good thing to be secure. It's a good thing to be sure, which we're going to look at in just a moment. And the Lord wants us to know that we didn't just get a pass on going to heaven. We didn't just get a pass out of hell, though that's true. We got a whole new life in Christ. And sometimes we forget who we are in Christ. And also, we are sure these things will be written to you, said John, that you may know that you have eternal life. Folks, we've got a know-so salvation. You can know, and you ought to know, and you can know what that you're saved. And if you died today, you'd have a home in heaven. If you don't know that, you need to get that settled before you go another day without settling life's greatest issues. But I want us to focus this morning on Roman numeral number 7 in your study guide this morning. And it really reflects what Paul said to the church at Ephesus and to the other places we talked about, to the saints of God who are at Ephesus. The word, the term supplied, but you are washed, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6. You are sanctified by the Spirit of our God. Now, I want you to stay with me. We're going to get into some stuff a little bit deeper here this morning. To be sanctified means to be set apart as holy. If an ancient Jewish person were to tell you what does it mean to be sanctified, he'd be reminded that the holy temple was sanctified. It was a holy place. The furniture was sanctified. It was set apart for the use of the priesthood and worship and service to God. And the feasts that came out of the Jewish worship of the Lord, these feasts were sanctified, set apart for the glory of God. Did you know that when you were saved, the Holy Spirit came into your heart and life and sealed you by the Holy Spirit, by His grace, and secured you by His grace, and also has sanctified or set you apart as a holy one. Now, you may not think of yourself as a holy one, but folks, I've got good news. When we stand before the Lord, we will not stand before Him clothed in our own righteousness. In fact, if that were the case, we'd be in bad shape. But we'll be standing clothed in the righteousness of Christ because we've been saved, sealed, secured, we're sure about it. It's a settled transaction. It's been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, sanctification is a part of a threefold spiritual process. There's, first of all, justification. Justification is that moment you give your heart and life to Jesus. It means when you were saved, you were justified, made as though you had never sinned. What can wash away my what? Sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why? I'm saved by the grace of God, and I'm not justified because I preach or because I give or because I do anything else, except I'm justified because one day I gave my heart and my life to the lovely Lord Jesus. Sanctified, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And this sanctification means when I was saved, I was justified, made right with God, sanctified, set apart for God's work and for God's use and for God's glory. You are a holy vessel, and He wants us to be ye holy even as He is holy. Holiness ought to be the natural outgrowth of a life that's walking with a lovely Lord and serving Jesus and being filled with the Spirit of God. You are sanctified, you're washed by the Spirit of our God. This is a powerful truth, and I want to just kind of park here for just a moment. Sometimes we think holiness as a denomination, and it is. And I want to tell you, one of the godliest people I have ever known in my life was a sweet holiness lady who kept my brother and me, and probably 100 other kids in Lacey Springs at some time or another. She loved to keep children. And her name was Miss Lizzie Anderson. And she had long hair, and she always wore a long dress, and even the hottest summertime. And Miss Lizzie was a born-again, saved, Pentecostal, on fire for Jesus, holiness woman who loved God with all of her heart. I don't think she ever wore makeup. I don't remember noticing that. But she never missed an opportunity to worship in God's house. And she did all she could to win those sweet children that she kept to the lovely Lord Jesus. She'd feed us. Now, stay with me. This is special to me. Maybe it'll ring a bell for you in a moment. She fed us every day pinto beans, cornbread, and fried potatoes. Fried potatoes. I'm telling you, I was 75 pounds in those days. And then she'd send us outside to play. And the days before computer games, we played cowboys and Indians. And I remember going by her window in the bedroom where she would go when she sent us outside. And I hear Miss Lizzie Anderson up on her knees in the bedroom calling my name, calling Randy's name, calling TJ's name, calling Buster's name, my brother, our friends, and begging God to save us and use us for His glory. How could she have possibly known? I just got glory bumps down my back. How could she have known that one day that young boy that she was praying for, how that Jackie was out there playing cowboys and Indians, and one day be saved, one day be called to preach and preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus? Why? Because God brought into our life a woman who took holiness on seriously. It wasn't just a denomination. It was a way of life with Lizzie Anderson. And folks, I want to tell you, God brings you into people's lives that you'll be a part of the holiness of God that attracts people to a saving relationship with the Lord. What does it mean to discover your blessings in Christ? We've been saved, we've been sealed, we're sure, and we are sanctified by the sweet Holy Spirit of God. And we ought to live like the people we are. We ought to be who we are. You are a saint. Talk like a saint. Live like a saint. Act like a saint. You are a child of God. Live like a child of God. Walk like a child of God. Talk like a child of God. The world sees Jesus most clearly through our lives. Talking about discovering our blessings in Christ, did you know you were that blessed? I mean, you're sanctified, set apart unto holiness. You have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, sanctified, and by the Spirit of our God. But it gets even gooder. I know that's not good grammar. My preaching professor would turn over in his grave. But we're talking about discovering our blessings in Christ. Successors with Christ. Roman numeral number 8. In Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. We're saved, we're supplied, we're sure, we're sanctified, we're successors with Christ. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If I were to ask you, what's your bottom line? What's the term? Your total net worth. You might say, well, preacher, that's just none of your business. Well, you're right when talking about your bank account. You're absolutely right. It's none of my business. But I want to talk to you about what's your net worth relative to the kingdom of God and relative to being saved. You see, you're a royal blue blood. You're an heir of God. The Bible says, fear not, little flock, for it's my Father's pleasure to give unto you the kingdom of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are an heir of God. Everything that God has created will go to God's children one day. One of these days, this whole world is going to be redone. It's going to be purified. I believe a new heaven. John saw a new heaven descending out of heaven to this old world, and there's a glorious city, bright and shining and spotless. We have inherited everything that our Lord inherited, and we are people who have discovered as successors with Christ that we are recipients of all the blessings of God. Everything that's good. Everything God has promised to His children throughout the ages. But that's not all. What does it mean to discover your riches in Christ? By the way, I've had people ask me, Brother Jackie, what do you think heaven's going to be like? Well, I've got a lot of ideas, and John tells us a lot about that in Revelation. But a lot of things I don't know, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's not going to be just a long worship service. You ever? This might not be a good time to ask you this question. So you ever been to a long, long worship service? What are you laughing at, Lois? Don't you love that sweet smile? Heaven's going to be more than just a sweet worship service. We're going to have a hallelujah, having a spell, glorious time. We're successors of Christ, but we've been set free in Christ. What does that mean? We don't hear too much preaching about this. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Listen, folks, I realize that in this world we can't escape being touched by depression and discouragement and fear and anger, and we find ourselves on the losing end of addiction, and a lot of things happen in life that we wouldn't have chosen. But the truth is, we have been set free in Christ. He breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the prisoner free. Listen, you don't have to be overcome. You can be an overcomer in Christ. Does that mean you won't ever face struggles? No. But greater is He that's within you than he that is within the world. Discovering our blessings in Christ means that we've been supplied, we're sure, we're sanctified, we're successors of Christ, we've been set free in Christ, and we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I was going to share this one this morning. I'll share it more tonight. But another dimension of what it means to discover the blessings of the Lord is we have been sent into this old world, the best message and the most glorious message in the entire world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is what? You know what the word gospel means? Good news. Good news. A Savior's come. Good news. Your sins can be washed away. Good news. You can have a home in heaven. Good news. Your past can be washed clean by the precious blood of the Lamb. Good news. We've been commissioned to be a part of an army of witnesses to go into the world telling people about Jesus. Go into all the world and share the gospel. I've been justified by grace through faith. I have been and am and will be sanctified one of these days. By the way, one of these days, sin won't have any pull on my heart and on yours. One of these days, the devil won't be able to tap us on the shoulder and bother us anymore. That's why when Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," we can say in Him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because I'm a child of the living God. We could talk a lot about the splendor of heaven. And after all is said and done, Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will surely come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also." There are a lot of commercials on TV that I don't really care to remember. And there's some that I do. And one of them is a picture of a couple looking for a home. And they go and they look at an RV, and the RV has a little bathroom you can't turn around in. And they said, "No, this is not for us." Then they go to, and I forget the name of the place. You know what it is. It's a place probably in Florida. And I tell you what, it's brilliant. It's gorgeous. And there are swimming pools, and there are spotless homes, and there's perfect weather and palm trees outside. Oh, me, isn't that where you'd like to live? It sounds pretty good to me. But, folks, that's a step down from what we've got ahead of us. It's a big step down because God's prepared for us more than we could ever describe or imagine in His purpose. He's prepared an eternal home where we'll never grow old, and there won't be any cemeteries. Dr. Lee said it's the land of no. No more pain, no more sorrow, for the former things are passed away. What is all of this? It's what Jesus has provided for those of us who trusted Him as our Lord and Savior. Discovering the blessings of what it means to be a believer. Do you know our Lord? Have you trusted Him? And if you have, are you resting in His promises to provide all that you need and to be everything that you need Him to be when you need Him? Are you walking with Him? Is your life a reflection of His holiness within you? Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. He wants you to discover you are more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. And you're somebody that God has blessed immeasurably. And like the Beverly Hillbillies, who never knew how wealthy they were, may we discover the richness of what it means to be a royal blue blood, a child of the living God, and a more than a conqueror through Christ. That can be yours today if you make Jesus your Lord. Let's bow together, shall we?